What's Santa Claus have to do with Narnia and with the gospel presentation? What is that? All right, so they call him Father Christmas here in the movie. They don't call him Santa Claus. But who would Father Christmas be representing in the Narnia story? Does anybody know? Has anybody ever seen this movie? It's a great movie. Father Christmas is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit giving gifts. And he makes a very important statement. These are tools, not toys. And today we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before I get into that, there's ribbons here on the sides. That's for the prayer vigil that's coming up in 2 weeks. And if you've been a part of the church, you know what to do. You write your prayer request. There's cards in these baskets. Put your prayer request on the ribbons. And then November 10th and 11th, as a church, we will be praying for everybody. So I invite you to submit your prayer request, and I also invite you to be a part of this weekend and to be praying for our church family. So be a part of that. All right, so let me get in the text here. This is 1 Corinthians 12. Let me read 11 verses here. Now, about the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 4, he gets in, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Different gifts, different services, different workings, all of them through the Spirit, through the Lord, through God. So here, today, my goal is to give you an overview of the spiritual gifts. And we're in chapter 12. It's also in chapter 13. It's in chapter 14. So I'm thinking we're probably going to be here for a while. And today is just an overview. And then in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about the easy gifts. And then we're going to talk about the hard gifts. Okay, so that's where we're headed here. It goes on, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Let me read that verse again. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We're going to come back to that verse. In verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. You see all these different gifts? All these various gifts. Kind of curious, what has God given you? What gift do you have? Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And this, verse chapter 12 here, it talks about wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between the spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's just one short list. In the Bible, there's actually 6 different lists of the gifts of the Spirit, and some of them overlap. But I'll also tell you, I don't think all the gifts are here. This is not an exhaustive list. It doesn't say anything about musicians, and I think being a musician is a gift from God. It doesn't talk anything about web design. I don't know why not, but, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that could be included, but it's not. So it's not an exhaustive list. In verse 1, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant about this. And once again, we're talking about the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a messed up church. We went through all these different things. You know, now we're in chapter 12, but we talked about divisions. We talked about arguments. We talked about lawsuits, immorality. There was confusion about marriage and food being sacrificed to idols. Last week, we talked about the Lord's Supper. All these things that the Corinthians were kind of, they're just messed up. And we got other issues coming too. But today, the focus is on the spiritual gifts, the confusion about the spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. Some people in Corinth apparently thought they were pretty hot stuff because they had some pretty impressive gifts, and other people didn't have those gifts. So here they were using the gifts to build themselves up. You know, look at me. Look how great I am. Look how special I am. And Paul's like, you guys are messed up, okay? And don't be ignorant about it. And you get to chapter 13, don't be childish is another thing that Paul emphasizes. When he gets into the love chapter, chapter 13, the chapter on love that's read at all the weddings, you know. But in that passage, he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. He's still talking about the spiritual gifts. You're acting like children when it comes to the spiritual gifts is what he's talking to, what he's telling the church of Corinth. Don't be ignorant about it. Don't be childish about it. Having spiritual gifts, which the Corinthians had spiritual gifts, but that didn't make them spiritual. They were still pretty worldly. They were being very selfish about their gifts. In chapter 13, it says love is the greatest of the gifts. So don't be childish about your spiritual gifts. Don't brag, you know, my gift's better than your gift. That's what children do, you know. Don't whine because you didn't get the gift that you wanted. You know, well, I wish I had the gift of prophecy. I wish I had the gift of miracles. I wish I had that. You know, and you're starting to ask God, did you keep your receipt? You know, because I want to trade this one in. You know, don't be like that. So don't be ignorant. Don't be childish. I think John MacArthur put this out. There's four different views on the spiritual gifts. So I want to give you these views. I think this is helpful. One view is, I think, cessationism. Big word, which means that the miracles have ceased. The miraculous signs, the miraculous gifts have ceased is the theory. And that's based on a few, you know, let me give you a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so we do not drift away. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now get that, verse 4, God testified to this gospel message by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The purpose of the gifts were to testify to the gospel message. As the apostles were going out, as the disciples were going out, spreading the gospel, they were given these gifts of miracles to give them credibility. That's what it says in Acts 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Now, why did God empower the disciples to do these miracles? Why could they do what they did? And we can't. Well, it was to help them establish the gospel message. And in our world, 2,000 years later, the gospel message has been established. We have the Word of God. No one is to add to it or to take away from it. So we have the Word of God. It has been confirmed through the miracles. I'll give you another one. Acts 14, verse 3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. God confirmed their message by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Mark 16, verse 20. Then disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that accompanied it. But the word is confirmed, right? The word is confirmed. Do we need more miracles? Do we need signs? Do we need wonders? I'll give you one more verse, and I don't have this one up here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails, but where there's prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We don't need anything else. This is what this position states. And then, just to, before I leave this position here, I want to remind you of a couple other things here. In Matthew 12, verse 39, Jesus says, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for miraculous signs. It's a wicked and adulterous generation that asks for miraculous signs. Here we are, you know, thirsty for gifts. We want to be able to heal people. We want to do miracles. We want to do the things we saw them to do. And Jesus said, why do you want that? Why do you want that? It's a wicked generation that is craving miracles instead of craving God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. You know, they're still miracles going on and signs and wonders, but in this case, it's not being done by the people of God. It's being done by the man of lawlessness. Matthew 24, verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will also appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. False prophets, they'll perform great signs and miracles. That might be going on in our world today, and that's just going to deceive people and confuse people. Do we need the miracles? Do we need more prophecies? Do we need all this stuff? Now, I got one more verse, Matthew 7, 22. They said, but Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform miracles in your name? And I will tell them plainly, Jesus says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Even though they prophesied, they did miracles, and they cast out demons, Jesus says, but I don't know you. And see, the Corinthians, I keep on going, the Corinthians, they apparently had great gifts, but they were so worldly. All right, that's one view. Another view, and Simon got to me, he made me change the name of it. I'm going to say the continuationist position. Right? Are you proud of me? All right. I think he did that so it wouldn't cause a church split. So, all right, so we changed the name of it. All right. And this is a theory that the gifts still exist today, but they must be done biblically. There is a biblical way to go about this. And I'm hoping we're going to address some of that today. And I would tell you, me, myself, I'm somewhere in between both these. I see miracles today. I have seen God do great things in my lifetime. I have wonderful friends, godly friends who speak in tongues. I don't speak in tongues, but I know godly people who do speak in tongues. I can't heal people, but I've seen people healed. So where am I? I'm somewhere in here, okay? I see that the purpose of the miracles was to confirm the message, and the message is confirmed. So do we need the miracles anymore? Yet I still see God is working. There needs to be another position, and I don't know what it is, but there needs to be another one. But let me get to two positions I do not agree with. And maybe you've seen it. This one's a charismaniac position. Charismaniac, yeah. All right, and this is the thought, the gifts exist, and some people exalt the gifts more than the message. They really don't care what the Bible says. It's all about the gifts. No concern for biblical restrictions. It's an abuse of spiritual power is what's going on here. The people who say, you know, well, I have a new message from the Lord. No, you don't. There is no new message from the Lord. The Lord has given us everything we need. So possible ways you might recognize, this going on here. If a pastor smacks people in the head and they fall down, that might be a charismaniac position, you know. If the name of the church includes Holy Ghost, Anointed, or Revival, or Fire, or Shekinah Glory, they might be a charismaniac church. If they hand you a praise flag and a tambourine as you walk in, okay, that might be a charismaniac church. If the co-pastor is the pastor's wife and she looks like she lost a paintball war, that might be a charismaniac church. So anyway, so there is a position that goes too far. When it comes to the spiritual gifts, don't be ignorant about this. There's a position that goes too far. It's not biblical. We need to recognize that. And then one more position I blame John MacArthur. He's the one who came up with this list. The Pentecostal position. This is similar. Well, what did I say here? I've experienced this here. I've experienced this where somebody tells you, if you don't speak in tongues, that obviously you don't have the Holy Spirit. Has that ever happened to you before? That's happened to me. Poor Pete. I mean, he's such a good guy, but he doesn't speak in tongues, so obviously he's not saved. I'm like, ouch. You know, that hurts, you know? And I reject that. That is not, and we're going to talk about that one in a few weeks, the whole thing about speaking in tongues. That'll be fun. All right, so, but there seems to be a lot of ignorance about the spiritual gifts today. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of ignorance about the spiritual gifts. So I'm hoping that some things that I say will be helpful. And I go back to verse 7. I want you to look at verse 7. I think this sums so much of it up. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Let me just stop right there. Couple things I want to highlight here. To each one, that means you've got one. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit has given you some gifts. At least a gift. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? What are you doing with that? So we all have, if we have the Holy Spirit, we have gifts from the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in just a second here. Another thing I want to highlight here, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The manifestation of the Spirit. What is that? That's a big word here. The manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God becomes visible through you. That's what this is about. You've been given the spiritual gifts so that you can manifest the Spirit of God, so that you can show the glory of God to people in your life. So people will see in you, they will see God. They will see how great our God is. They will see how awesome our God is through you. If your gift is not manifesting the Spirit of God, then it's not from the Spirit of God. If more attention is drawn to you than to Christ, then there's a problem. Then something is wrong, because it's not supposed to be bringing attention to you. It's supposed to be bringing attention to Jesus Christ. Our focus must be on the giver, not on the gift. The Holy Spirit gives a variety of gifts. We see this here to each one. He gives different gifts as he determines. And this was very helpful to me. As he determines, which means if I don't have the gift of healing, and I don't think I do, then maybe it's not because of my lack of faith. Maybe it's because the Holy Spirit didn't give me that one. Maybe he gave that one to somebody else. Maybe he didn't give that one to me. So if you ever think, you know, well, I can't do this. I can't do all the things the disciples did. So, you know, you think, poor little you, that, you know, you must not have much faith. Maybe the Holy Spirit determined not to give you that one for various reasons, whatever the reasons are. But the Holy Spirit is the one who determines what gift to give you. And so you think about some of the things that the Holy Spirit has given us. First of all, we've been given Jesus. Luke 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." The Savior has been born to you. He's been given to you. This is God's gift to you. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is a gift from God. Acts 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." The name of Jesus has been given to you by God. That, stop right there. Awesome. Great day, okay? But wait, there's more. Okay, so we've been given Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, to comfort you." What a gift that is. Not only do I have Jesus, not only do I have salvation, not only do I have eternal life, I have the Holy Spirit to guide me and to help me and to teach me. I have the presence of God with me. It says in John 14, verse 26, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you everything I've said to you." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So we've been given Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, all these different gifts as he determines to various people. It says in Romans 12, this is another list of gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, then let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, okay, so right, I just gave you a second list here. And one list I gave you, doing, you know, healing and prophesying and doing miraculous powers. And here it's talking about encouraging and teaching and showing mercy. Now, those gifts aren't as sensational as the first list I gave you. And I do worry that some people, you know, I want the gift of, you know, healing or doing miracles. I want to raise the dead. I want to cast out demons. Or, well, what about the gift of encouraging? How about just encouraging somebody? That's an awesome gift. But nobody wants that gift. No, we want the showy gifts. We want the sensational gifts. That's a problem. All right, another thing, he's given you Jesus, he's given you the Holy Spirit, he's given you gifts, and he's given you weapons. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We are in a spiritual war. There's a purpose for why the Holy Spirit has given you what the Holy Spirit's given you. And I go back to the video. If you've not seen the movie, you got to see the movie. It's a great movie. And where Father Christmas says, these are tools, not toys. These are weapons for battle because we're in a spiritual war and you need to equip yourself. You need to arm yourself. You need to do your part. So this leads to my next question. What are you doing with what has been given to you? What are you doing with it? And I go back to verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Why did the Holy Spirit give you what the Holy Spirit gave you? He gave it to you for the common good, for the good of the team, not for your own self-esteem, okay? Yes, God made you special, but the reason you're special is not because of the gifts you possess. It's because of the one who possesses you. The purpose of the spiritual gifts is not to boast, but to bless. It's not to show off, but to serve. It's for the common good. It's for building up the church. This should be our goal, to build up the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. I said this last week. I feel like I can't say this enough. The world is so down on church. Jesus wasn't. Jesus loved the church. Jesus equipped us to build up the church. So as much as the world comes against the church, you've got to understand, that's just part of the battle. But we are the church, and we exist for a reason. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Do you have gifts that will help build up the church? Are you using your gifts to build up the church? Ephesians 4:11 says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The reason he's gifted you is so that the body of Christ may be built up. What gift have you got to build his church? How are you using that gift to build God's church? John Piper says, not knowing our gift is not the basic problem. More basic is not desiring very much to strengthen other people's faith. If we cared about strengthening people's faith, if we cared about building the church up, you don't have to worry about what your gift is. You'll figure it out. If your focus is doing what God has called you to do, you're probably going to discover gifts left and right that the Holy Spirit is giving you because you're on task. You're doing what God has called you to do. But if you're just going after the gifts, if you're not going after building people up, building the church up, you'll never figure out your gift. If I live to be a blessing to other people, to serve God, to make a difference, that's how I will discover what gift God has given me. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Live to be a blessing to other people. Live to serve God. Live to make a difference. If you feel isolated, it may be because you're not actively deploying your gift. Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, for him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you're doing what God has called you to do, then you're not going to feel isolated. But if you're not doing what God has called you to do, then you're going to feel isolated. Man, I look in our church, I get so proud of our church. You look at what's happened in our church, you look at what's happening in our church, you look at the missions work that's going on in this church. I just wrote down, we got a group getting ready to go to Arizona in a couple months. Atticus and Libby has been to South Sudan a couple times this year. Neil went to Kenya. Jenny Smith is in Haiti right now. Hands of Grace and what they're doing, love packages, and we got a bunch of shoe boxes out in the lobby right now filled with presents to go around the world. All these different things that are going on because people have been gifted here and people are serving. You got the homeschool co-op that's happening here to teach people. You got people giving. You got people serving. You got the people who have the gift of cooking, which I love that gift. So you got all these things going on. Everybody's using their gifts in whatever way. building up the church, making the church stronger, bringing glory to God is a beautiful thing. So we're building up the church with these gifts. We're demolishing strongholds. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And you think about some of the strongholds that have come down over 2,000 years. I'd like to think some of the strongholds our church has. And I'm not sure that we can, we won't see those for like another 50 years. But how the church is on the front line to strengthen the family. The church is on the front line has been on the front line against slavery, against now you got sex trafficking going on. You got all these different things, homelessness. We got Exit Zero. We got a lot of people here who serve at Exit Zero trying to make a difference, trying to bring hope. The church stands against pornography. All these different issues. It's a church that, how many hospitals exist because of, you got Baptist, that was started by a church. Norton's was started by a church. You got all these different hospitals started by churches. So many schools started by churches. And the whole purpose of Sunday school, the origins of Sunday school was to teach children how to read so they could read the Word of God. So they could study the scriptures for themselves. That's where Sunday school began. That's why so many churches are involved with schools, is to help children learn God's word. John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do works that I do." Think about it. Do I have that up there? Yeah. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." You ever think about that? I'm not doing what Jesus did. He goes on, "And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." And I look at that verse, I think, I am so unworthy. I can't do this, but we are doing this. If I just look at me, I fall short. But when I look at the church, and when I look at the universal church, and what the universal church is doing in the world, it's far greater than, Jesus did a lot of great things. But he left this world so he could give us the Holy Spirit so that we could be empowered and energized through the Holy Spirit. And through that, the church is doing so much more than what Jesus as one individual man could do in the nation of Israel. Now you got the church around the world bringing hope to people, bringing salvation to people in Jesus' name. So we demolish strongholds. We prepare the way. The hope we bring, this is what the movie Narnia says, the hope we bring is weakening the witch's power. In Narnia, it was always winter, never Christmas. It was always cold, always dreary, always just terrible. And God's people were bringing hope. In Narnia, it was beginning to thaw out. And everybody knew Aslan was on his way. The king was on his way. That's what the whole movie's about. And you and I, God's people, we're bringing hope to a world that is cold, a world that has just been winterized. It needs to thaw out. That's going to happen through God's people, that through us as we use the gifts that God has given us. You, child of God, have the ability to bring hope to the hopeless. You have been gifted by the Holy Spirit for the common good. So you think, what's the most important gift? Is it tongues? We're going to talk about that one. Prophesying, healing. What gift do you want the most? What gift are you envious of? In the little movie clip I showed you, Lucy, she received ointment for healing. Susan, she received bows and arrows and a horn. Who wants a horn? Nobody wants a horn. Peter received a sword, a shield. How cool is that? That's what I want, We want the sensational gifts. The big gifts, the impressive gifts. Nobody wants the gift of administration. It's an important gift. The gift of encouragement, the gift of leadership. What gift is it that you want? What gift is it that gets your attention? And let me share a little story here. Ronald Reagan, years ago, it was 1981, he got shot. You remember that when Ronald Reagan, our president, got shot and he was hospitalized for 3 weeks and the government didn't miss a beat. They just kept on spending your tax money, didn't bother them at all, you know. The government didn't shut down. Our commander-in-chief was in the hospital, and everything functioned as normal. Now, during that same time in Philadelphia, the garbage collectors, they went on strike. And garbage piled up everywhere. And the whole city stunk. And the whole city was completely shut down. What's more important to you, the president of the United States or a garbage collector? Who has the greater power? You think the president has all the power? No, the garbage collectors have all the power. Okay, all the power. And I'm thinking here, you know, in our church, we think, I have no power. Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm nothing. We're all nothing but sinners saved by grace. But collectively, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And through the church, God is doing great things, awesome things, wonderful things. Such a privilege to be a part of it. And all I'm asking is that you do your part, whatever that part is, to build up the church, to bring glory to God. If God gave you a gift, He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for the church. Be grateful for that gift and use it for His glory. So go back again, once again, what has God given you? We talked about this. He's given us Jesus. He's given us purpose. He's given us love. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us confidence. He's given us peace. He's given us joy. He's given us the gift of eternal life. He's given us so much. How can we not worship Him when we think about all that He's given us? He's given us the breath of life. But that's really not what this sermon's about. The real question is, what are you giving God? And let me call your attention to Romans 12, verse 1. So dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Give your bodies to God. You thought I was going to ask for money. No, money's too easy. No, I want your whole body, okay? I want everything. Your hands, your feet, your mouth, your heart, your mind, all belongs to Jesus Christ. We are to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, all that we have, all that He's given us. We give our bodies to God. And it goes on, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind He can accept. Charles Swindoll, he says, no other discipline is more closely associated with the mission of Jesus Christ than sacrifice. Sacrifice your whole body for God. And it goes on, living sacrifice, be a living sacrifice. God's not calling you to crawl up to the altar and die. He's calling you to crawl off the altar and live for Him. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Freely you have received. Freely give. And as you freely give, as you give yourself to serve Jesus Christ, your Lord, you will discover what gift He has given you. Let me just close with 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, where Paul's talking to Timothy. He tells Timothy two things. He says, do not neglect your gift. Don't neglect it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, for this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. You've been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has given you certain talents, certain abilities that I don't have. I'm envious. I wish I had what you have. But collectively, together, we can do great things in God's name. This is for the common good. This is for the glory of God.